longer with the referee allowed. Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hi everyone and welcome along to the RTE GAA podcast. Lee Keegan is with myself and Rory to look back on round five of the Allianz Football League. How are you, Lee?
Good, yeah. Tired after the weekend's action. It's all starting to heat up a bit.
It is. It certainly is. Let's give you the headlines for people who may have not seen all the games. Derry falling to their first defeat. It was going to come at some point at the hands of Dublin. Kerry bounced back with a great win against Tyrone. Galway picked up some vital points on the road against Monaghan, and Mayo came out in that local derby with the Rossies, which I'm sure you've got plenty of thoughts on. But let's start with Derry-Dublin, because it seemed to me, Lee, even we were chatting about it last week, it was being billed as the game of the weekend, 13,000 people in Celtic Park. Not sure it lived up to the hype.
No, Jackie. Unfortunately, I think with Derry in the position they were in and the seven changes before the game, and I suppose I was really excited to see the Conor Glass Fenton tussle, particularly when I see Glass then that or been rested, then that kind of indicates to me that Derry were probably looking at a down week. So, and as well, I do think as well, looking at the Dublin performance, I think they give them a lesson as well. Why Dublin are top dogs why they're in the position they're in after the few games. And I think, listen, we didn't learn probably a whole pile. What I did learn is I think teams have quite a way to go to get to Dublin's level. That's the worrying sign at the moment. And what's scary from my point of view is it's the Fentons, the Kilkennys, the Conor Callans that are really catching form. And, you know, these guys, for me, you know, it's very easy for them just to say, you know what, I'm not feeling today, but they go out week in, week out and put in performances that you're just like, why? Just amazing. Like Fenton the weekend was just awesome. And Kilkenny for me has been probably the form player in the league along with Conn this year. His form has just been brilliant in the last few games. So it's the signs are pretty obvious at the moment when you look at the way Dublin are going at the moment.
Yeah. That's exactly the sense that I got, Rory, that this is a Dublin team who've just gone, right, we're back in business now. This is how we roll.
It's scary for everybody else, Jackie. The glamour and the talk of the split Dublin in two could very well resurface. You know, because
it could
because you could potentially be looking at another era. I mean, you have to put it into context. In 10 years, they've lost two championship matches in Croke Park. They've lost two championship matches, full stop. So the challenge will remain that they are the benchmark. I know Kerry are, we'll say, the standard bearers for Gaelic football, but Dublin really are now and have been for 10 years and maybe more. And the fact that you have a new generation of leaders, as Lee pointed out in relation to Conn, Brian Fenton and Kieran Kilkenny, who are playing great football, but now you have a whole new cohort of players that have bedded in. Ross McGarry played reasonably well. Theo Clancy, I know he didn't start the other night, but they're expecting big things from him. Greg McEnany came on. Lee Gannon going off was a bit of a blow because he's one of the new players on the block, and that looked like a hamstring. There was, you know, so there's a whole pile of players. Paddy Small, I think, you know, is starting to really settle into the team. So they are rebuilding before our very eyes, effectively a new team again. And I think they've proven in the space of 7 days, and I know they only won by five on Saturday night, Jackie, but they ripped the two main contenders, they ripped them to shreds. And that to me is a very ominous sign for everybody
right.
else.
What's scary though is we all associate Derry, and Derry are, listen, there's no district Derry. Derry are a brilliant side still, okay. That's, you know, I think we'll give them probably a bit of hope going into the next few weeks. But my thing is, Derry played this real hard running style. Dublin are just happy to let them do that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and they don't let Derry plot and plan and play the way Derry play. Like, yeah, listen, Conor Gussie got a great goal. It was kind of a one-off opportunity. Like, you didn't see too many of them. You know, Shane McGuigan had this spectacular goal chance, but they're few and far between, to be honest. And like, the 5-point victory for me wasn't a 5-point victory. It was so much more comfortable. But the other scary thing is, for me, is, you know, James McCarthy, you know, Cluxon, Fitzsimons, Jack McCaffrey, you know, you're on the Lee Gannon, for me, fantastic player, brilliant footballer. But Jack Carter comes in and picks up that spot. Basquiat hasn't played. So
Paul Mannion didn't play.
Paul Mannion didn't play. Like, you're listening to a host of players that would walk into any elite Intercounty team. And
can I ask you though, Lee, right? Derry also didn't have some of those key players.
Correct.
So is it like, how far of a distance do you think is between these sides if they have, everybody has a full complement of players then?
I still think Dublin are too far ahead of Derry.
Do you?
I really believe that. And I believe from the point of view is that I don't know if Derry's game plan has enough to evolve to beat Dublin. I just think Dublin are so well equipped to deal with that running game. And we've seen it for years. And the way Dublin are playing at the moment is scary from the point of view is that they're playing such attacking football. I don't think Dublin probably got a lot of appreciation over the years for their All-Ireland because it was very conservative, very risk associated or assessed, and you know, like they always want to get to that shooting zone. They look like they're playing off the cuff. They look as happy as I've seen them in a long time, just playing with that freedom. So even I think with Derry's full complement, I still believe Dublin are just too far ahead, to be honest, at the moment.
Mm. Interesting, because I do think in a way, go on, sorry, Rory. I was just going to say, I think maybe Mickey was thinking, that's grand. It's only March. We're fine with that.
And he probably had to really, Jackie, like the reality is, if you look at Derry's schedule, potential schedule, if they end up in a league final, that's 8 games. They might need 3 to go through Ulster if they want to go 3 in a row in the provincial campaign. Then you're looking at 3 round robin games. And then if you end up in a prelim quarter final, you're looking at 4 on top of that. So what's that? Is that 18, 19 games in a 26 in a 26 week period? He had no choice. And I think it was a wise decision because you've a down week this week now coming in as well. So effectively you're giving lads 2 weeks break. And I think that was a smart move. But I mean, you just couldn't but be impressed with Dublin. They are regenerating. They are reinvigorated. They're inspired again. It's very early to be drawing any definitive conclusions about any of this. But I suppose if you compared it this time last year to some of the anemic displays in Division 2 against much lower quality opposition and what they're doing now in Division 1 all of a sudden by kickstarting their campaign the way that they have, yeah, scary.
Yeah, great.
Another year.
but Jackie, I think what Dublin have done is right. You take it their first two games, right? They lost their first two games, fine.
By a point. And did they really deserve to lose that
and
game?
And the definitely that was the one.
But my point is like they're just giving the Kerrys and the Derrys a bit of manners, saying, do you know what, this is Dublin, this is what we're going to do this year. And for me, it's just in a little marker of maybe of things to come is that last year wasn't just a kind of one-off save for Desi and this whole kind of aura end that this was the last dance, all that kind of stuff. Dublin are going nowhere. And they just look so good. And those players in aim as well, Roy, like they're embedding into the same kind of system and style that Dublin want to play. And it's great to watch. It really is. It is. It's scary, but it's great to watch from our point of view.
Yeah, they're great to watch. I don't think anybody can deny that. That's for sure. I think, look, Conor Glass and Brian Fenton, we'll have to wait for another few weeks for that, but I'm sure we're going to get it and it'll be rip roaring. Let's move on to some of the other games then. Monaghan Galway, Lee, when you look at, okay, from two perspectives, one is Monaghan getting another trimming, which it absolutely has to be a concern. The other is Galway. After a really mediocre start, suddenly they're finding form in a place where Pádraig Joyce is, you got Rory Cunningham getting in and getting 1-3. He's suddenly starting to find a few players, and I think he'll be happy enough with the way that they're moving now.
Oh, Jackie, they'll be delighted. If you look at the players that are missing, I mean, again, you're talking about elite players that Galway have to come back, and yet they're in a beautiful position now. They're not really looking over their shoulder as much now, and they have a cracking tie against Dublin now, Saturday week as well. So I think they're in a really good position. They love playing Ulster teams. Really do. They have such a record. Pádraig Joyce against Ulster teams over his 4 year has just been fantastic. So
what do you put that down to, Lee?
I don't know. I think it's just their system. They just seem to like playing Ulster teams. They seem to have the pick of them and they understand how Ulster teams play, and they always play with a bit of confidence against them. Now I would say Monaghan for me were really poor at the weekend. I would have to say that. And there's from a few point of view as well is that, you know, even if the 3 goals I can see in the first half, I mean, they were just shockers. I don't think there's any other way to brush over it. They're just
all just route one, weren't they? They were just route one ball breaks, bang.
like they're so preventable. Like, and that's the sign of where Monaghan for me are at the moment. They're just so far off the pace. And even the second half, when they got somewhat back into the game, they conceded five or six frees. Just killer stuff. Like, I mean, you're playing a Gola team that again, people say Monaghan are missing a lot of players, but so are Gola. But give them Gola, like, some of the score chance they got, I just think they're so far off the pace at the moment where they need to be. And it's that could be a little hangover from last year too for me. I thought they really competed well last year. You know, the whole, I always love the show with Monaghan in the league, and I really hope, I like to say that we're wrong again and they'll stay up, but you know, you look at the signs of at the moment, they just look at the team ready just to be, I suppose, they're looking for that last blowout, so, or knockout. So for me, they're so poor at the weekend. They made life really easy for Galway, and Galway, to be honest, just countered to an easy win. So, but from a Galway perspective, for me, they're in a really, really good position. Try and get some of those key figure back now, like the likes of Comer, Welsh, Killian McDade, Matthew Turney. I don't know how snipping some of their injuries are, but getting those guys back now. Different year looking for Galway after a red one for me, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing, the perspective for them. I'll come back to them in a second, Rory. I do want to pick up on what Lee is saying about Monaghan, though. You're looking 7 points at the weekend. They lost by 12 to Roscommon, 13 to Derry, 9 to Kerry, a cumulative loss of 41 points. So that 1 point win over Dublin, suddenly they're looking at minus 40 of a scoring difference. Dublin and Derry are on plus 20, like your 60 point swing. At some point, this has to be a, we just can't do this anymore, because this is going to get away from them very quickly if they don't start turning it around. That is just too leaky for Division One football.
It is. And the bizarre thing about the way the rules are in league football is the head-to-head comes into play. So their game against Tyrone in 2 weeks' time is huge, because if they were capable of turning Tyrone over, and would you bet against Monaghan not to do that in a one-off game and potentially then save their Division One status? You would not. But I'm not entirely sure if going down to Division Two wouldn't be the best thing for Monaghan. I think if you look at the age profile of some of the more established leaders, we know Kieran Hughes disappeared over the winter months. He would have been a big leader. Darren is, I think, is about 34, 35. Obviously, Rory Beggin, they lost Drew Wiley. Ryan is, you know, probably not far behind him. So, like, there is a massive level of transition, and counties with a smaller pick do find transitioning that little bit harder. And sometimes, like, if you even look at Donegal, our classic example, where they've gone down into Division Two, they can give lots of game time to lots of players and still win. Mayo, a few years ago, Lee, got relegated. I think it was during the COVID year, where it was a truncated league season. And I think that saw the introduction of the likes of Ryan O'Donoghue and Tommy Conroy into the Mayo team. So, and then they obviously still won, and they obviously still got promoted. So I think Division Two for Monaghan, if that's where they end up, isn't the be all and isn't some sort of doomsday scenario. And it could actually be, potentially a help. I think they will kind of be in that top end of Division Two, even if they do go down. And it might be the worst place when you are looking to transition a team and regenerate a team and give players time to adjust into county football.
When they do another Houdini, I'm going to play this back for you. The latest man to write off Monaghan of a scrap in the league.
Funnily enough, I thought that, like, the two that I picked at the beginning when we spoke about potential droppies down to Division Two, it was Tyrone and Roscommon, who I felt might actually, because I just thought the form of those two teams might, and, you know, given the season Roscommon had last year in Division One, the second season syndrome and all of that. Now, that might still be the case.
Yeah,
but it's not even the money. It's the performance.
Exactly.
Whatever anything else, it just looks to me is that they're really struggling to find any type of form and consistency, and their defense has just been appalling. Not from 1-6. I'm talking overall, collectively, Joe. And when I look at Galway, for example, they have really good defense, and one guy that I really, really impressed with over the league, and if you look at the caliber of players he's marked, is Johnny McGrath. And he picked up Jack McCarron at the weekend again and did an absolute brilliant job. He's a right tigerish cornerback, and this is what I liked, and I probably was really
Sean Mulkern, and Sean Mulkern coming back into that defense, brilliant, is another big one, I think, Lee.
And Fitzgerald as well, full back, good young lads, and Mulkern, yeah, is a good leader. But for me, Johnny McGrath has been the standard defender in the league along with McCluskey. Just think he's been fantastic. And someone that I know Mayo would be looking at, that the you know, pick up the likes of Ryan, if that's the case later in the year. So really impressive with the caliber of lads. And that's something that, again, I questioned really a lot against Mayo early in the year, where Galway are at. They really just went about their business, ticked off, and you know, it probably pains me to say it, but it's great to have a competitive Galway. And it's healthy. You know, I know we have a big rivalry with them here in Mayo, but it's having a really energized Galway brings a lot of flair to the championship, and I'd be interested when those guys get back in there, how they're going to progress and challenge for the championship.
Yeah. And when they get back.
Exactly, yeah.
And Jackie, one of the things that I thought was quite striking when you were looking at the team sheets on Sunday was how inexperienced their forward line looked. And the reality is they really are missing a lot of players. You have to give them that caveat, to be fair to Pádraig Joyce. And it has been hard for him to get any momentum into the team. But I think the flip side is he's getting game time into a whole host of lads who should be able to apply pressure on the established players when they do return. So I think Galway are in for an interesting year just yet.
Yeah, they've got Dublin and Kerry to come over the next couple of weeks, which will be a nice measure. And you would like for him to feel that he can get a couple of those players back, even for one of those games, just to see where they're at, I think, you know.
Well, chance you're in the corner as well, Jackie. It's important for them to get game time, because you're entering into the thick of it then. It's not a thing where you can just get up and run, and you need to get those minutes in your legs. And I think that's why the league is really important this year, is finding the balance of minutes and players and getting confidence built up as well. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks for Galway if they can get those back.
Mm. Well, the flip side on the other end of the table, you mentioned Tyrone, Rory, and it seems that Tyrone-Monaghan game now in a couple of weeks just has that relegation scrap written all over it, because Tyrone losing to Kerry, maybe it's not unexpected the way it happens, but I guess it's just another pull on that momentum swing that Tyrone probably just haven't found the rhythm that maybe they were hoping for 3 weeks ago.
It was a fairly harmless encounter that had settled into a routine game.
With a few flashpoints.
Yeah, it was a fairly harmless encounter that had settled in, exactly, and it had settled into a routine game, and then a big load of arse boxing broke out right in front of the stand. I think stands are... They're like little honeypots for trouble, because the crowd get going and the lads think that they have to react. Now, David Clifford probably exacerbated the situation, let's be honest.
And then just walks away casually.
Yeah, and when the mark was ruled a line ball, and then they had a second bite of each other. It went on for ages. And
no, I don't think the lines would help.
A bit silly.
It was all a bit silly.
A couple of yellows, but it did spark the game in a big way. And I thought definitely red cards coming here. It took a full 3 minutes, I think, nearly to sort out. But it did get a big twist out of David, particularly, and the Cliffords. I think once the football then settled back down, it was really plain sailing for Kerry after that. And I thought they made light work of Tyrone in the end. It was, 12-6 at halftime. And after that, then I think the second half just became non-competitive. I know Tyrone got a couple of scores early on or later on to put a bit of a gloss on the scoreboard, but I think it gave a false impression Kerry were far the superior team over the whole game.
Yeah. And like, they probably needed to be as well, Lee, because just listen to Jack O'Connor talking afterwards. He used the word unacceptable for their performance against Dublin. He talked about some of the players getting stick. I think he really needed to see this from his team.
Oh, I think that Dublin game really hurt them. I really do. And I don't care if it's a league game or a challenge game when it comes to Kerry Dublin. And you lose in the manner Kerry did. They don't associate Kerry teams with that. So I think that really did sting them. And it was a positive response. A lot. It's funny, though. I actually thought Tyrone started really well. Like the first quarter, they looked hungry for turnovers. They looked like they were building on the Mayo game before. As soon as the scuffle started, it's like Kerry just took complete control of that game. And Tyrone just, they really deceived flat in any challenge. And I just thought they were flat for a lot of the game. PD Harkonoff injured again, another big loss, you know. Confidence match went off injured as well. So my problem with Tyrone is the consistency levels. It's like one good day, bad day, good day, bad day. And we're all waiting for the Darren show. And when it didn't happen, it's like nothing happens really. Did you know it's they're just scrapping and
but that's what I mean. Like a few weeks ago, you watch them and you're like, great, brilliant, they're motoring now. I'd love to watch this team. And then the next week they get pumped. You're like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and it was a sign of last year as well, Jackie, is nearly the same kind of performances that they did, and like everyone nearly gives them kind of a, you know, the leeway that, gee, that was a brilliant performance.
Yeah.
Then again, they come in last day and, you know, you're playing one of their biggest rivals and they're just flat for a lot of it. And I said, like, when they have players like a Derek Hanavan and a Darren McCurry, but their system doesn't allow them. Like I thought last week, the bit of gold dust and everything, I thought this is brilliant. Like, we're going to see these guys really flourish this week, and, you know, they're going to play a style of game that's going to suit them. Kerry just kind of bullied them and rolled them over for a lot of the game. And you start questioning then what type of attack and play or structure Tyrone are trying to imprint on themselves. And I don't really know, to be honest. I think they look a bit lost from game to game sometimes, you know. Like Darren McCurry came out last week, looked the part, looked really, really good. He was anonymous then on Sunday, you know. So I question Tyrone's overall attack and structure, their play and what they're trying to implement, because it looked pretty flat on Sunday. And as you said, Kerry, the Saunders victory then for me. And Clifford, the two Cliffords were brilliant. Gavin White was brilliant. Their midfield, there's always a question mark around Kerry's midfield. I thought that they did really well on Tyrone's. And we always look at Tyrone's field of Fitzpatrick and Kennedy and how good they are. I thought Kerry dominated that, to be honest, right in the middle. And it was great to see Clifford take game from me at the weekend. I think he took a lot of stick from the Dublin game the week before, and yet he could have finished at 1-6, 1-7. So it's a sign of a guy that wants to learn, wants to evolve, wants to develop, and yet he's 5 All-Stars and 2 Players of the Year. Do you know what I mean? So it's a sign of a guy that he wants to get better. But I keep going back to one guy, and I love David Clifford, but Paddy Clifford for me is the key a lot of that. When he's purring and things are going really well, and not so well, he's the guy I always look to that's trying to turn the tide when things don't go well. He is just awesome for me. He really,
well,
really
he's
is.
He's like the Kieran Kilkenny role in Kerry. And like Con O'Callaghan doesn't look good if Kieran Kilkenny doesn't do that. And the same way with Paddy and David, and maybe it's even more because they're brothers and they totally know where each other are, but like it's just that perfect axis.
Jackie, we did a full focus on Paddy Clifford when we played them. Now the tank is in the quarterfinal. I'm not saying that, but our detail was to try and stop Paddy as best possible, because he was their main outlet for ball inside to Sean O'Shea or into David. So I think you need someone to tag him for a lot of games, because I just think his importance to carry his leadership. And he's captain this year and he looks really comfortable as the captain. I think it's really suited him. I was so impressed him against Mayo a couple of weeks ago, kicked 4 points and kicked 3 the weekend. So for me, he ticks all the boxes when Kerry are going well, and not so well. He's their main leader for me at times, and probably doesn't get the same appreciation because of how good David is. But for me, he's equally as important and as good for that Kerry team.
One player, just Jackie, that I'd just like to give a shout out to, because he kind of goes under the radar, and Lee mentioned about maybe underappreciation, was Darren Moynihan. I thought it was one of his best ever Kerry displays. Now, he nearly always gets taken off, and sometimes that's because he might have a quiet game, but I thought he was outstanding. Now, he got taken off again, but he got taken off to a rapturous applause from the stand. And like, obviously the Kerry people, like, there's nobody can tell them about football. They know football. So I just thought he put in an unbelievable shift, and he was rightly applauded by the Kerry supporters. He was coming off. It was very Paul Galvin in the role that he played, trying to dive on dirty ball, really good kicking. He chips in with a couple of scores. He's exactly that prototype wing forward that they've maybe been looking for a couple of years to really kind of find his wings. And I thought Sunday was one of his best displays that I've seen from him.
Yeah. He's definitely helping Kerry to move in the right direction, and they look like they're safe anyway. So that's one start for them. I guess it's now looking upwards as to what they want to do, which I think maybe might be the same position Mayo are in, Lee, because I think maybe the stop-start nature of them, they were in the league final last year, league champions obviously, and it didn't suit them for a variety of reasons. They're probably in a similar position now where they could find themselves in a league final if that's the route they want to go. I don't know. Where do you think Kevin's head is at right now?
I don't think league final is what Kevin wants, if I'm being totally honest. And I think Kevin would probably say the same himself. I don't think it's even a thing where Mayo right the week after a league final against New York. That's not even the issue. I think for me, there's a couple things with Mayo this year. I think the weekend was a big game for me to get points. And it was good. It was a good performance. I thought Roscommon were very poor, particularly the second half. I thought they were very rudderless second half and very lack of effort, and that's not what I associate with Scammon, especially Mayo games. So I thought Mayo did what they need to do. I thought just you know, it was a dirty night, just nice and professional performance and get in, get out. So for me, it's again the consistency of Mayo. I don't think we've seen in the league this year. And as well, Jackie, what's probably worrying is again we didn't get a goal at the weekend. So there is a lot of question around Mayo's attack and play. You know, score 15 points is good. But I would like to see more cutthroat up top. I don't know, it was magnificent the weekend, and I'm not getting that wrong, but I still look at their forward play, and I think to myself, can we get better? You know, we're missing by Durkin, Gerald O'Connor, and sometimes that's not a bad thing. See what we can do and what we can look at from a forward perspective. For the ball, had a good game on the weekend as well. So I don't know if a league final is what they want, Jackie, Joe Nellis. I think they're happy.
Where are they going to get them scores from then that you're talking about?
I don't know. It's always the big question mark. Like, even you look at their stat. Now, actually, I read a really good stat. Tyrone have a worse goal record, scoring goals than Mayo. I think Mayo were second. So, but my point is, it's people will always say Mayo do not have that marquee forward. I think we do have it. It's how we play into their strengths and work them into the game as best as we can. You know, Shane McGuigan at the weekend, he scored 7. But it was all revolved around him. I think sometimes we can do more to get Ryan on the ball, get him in those positions, instead of having Ryan chase back 30, 40 yards. You know, you don't see Clifford do that too often, because where is he more dangerous? You know, so my point is we can play a better system to help our forwards, I think. So I think from the Mayo perspective, I think it was really important to get 2 points this weekend. It makes us more or less safe now. So they can start kind of plotting and planning. They're going to have a tough test against Derry. I think they're going to put out a full squad for that game. So that's going to be a really interesting battle for me. But from my point of view, is how serious are the injuries to Gerald O'Connor, Paddy Durkin.
O'McLaughlin. Did Owen go off with what looked like a
hamstring?
But a hamstring.
The sniper was out on Saturday night. So Lee Gannon and bloody Owen McLaughlin. And Owen's looked bad. It did look bad. And he was having such a good game.
Oh, he was unbelievable, Lee, wasn't he? Like, the injection of pace and the searing pace. He took off at one stage, and I don't know, was it Brian Stacker who someone was trying to keep up with him? He just took off. He's some weapon on that way.
His decision making was better on Saturday than it had been as well. So I thought he was under a bit of pressure. He did really well for me, and that's an unfortunate injury picked up. So, yeah, for me, Mayo would be happy going into the last two league games where they're... they put out full squads, or they're going to give game time to a lot of players that probably haven't seen a lot. I think it's a good position for them to be in. But it's still for me, there's still a couple of question marks over attack and play and style and bits like that. But I'd have to say I was just bitterly disappointed with Roscommon. It really was that second half. You know, Jermurth in the first half was brilliant, kicked absolute some crackers in the first half. And I was thinking we might have an actual game here. Second half, the effort and the fall off of even just tracking people was just... it was mind-boggling, to be honest. And I'd say Davy Burke was frothing on sideline with some of the effort from his players in that second half, because it just wasn't good enough looking in from the sideline for me, to be honest. So just going to have a lot of work to do. We've won into the last few games for relegation games. So, interesting stuff.
They still look like the most likely side to be going down, Rory.
Yeah, they do. And it was always going to be a difficult season for them. They had a lot of players with Sigerson. Bridget's went on a good run, as we know. He had a stop-start nature to his preparation. They probably needed maybe everybody on board from the get-go. There was a really good start to this game. I mean, it was some really high-quality scores from both teams. I think 11 of the first 12 scores came from play. And Lee mentions about possibly Mayo needing... you know, that marquee forward. Sure, do you need a marquee forward when you have a goalkeeper kicking points from play with the outside of his right from about 45 metres in Atlantic hurricanes? And
he was a full forward for years.
Right. Yeah.
Was he?
He used to be full forward. Okay, yeah, okay. So Cullum actually was at the May under 21 team, the one that Ireland.
Some point now, wasn't it? Yeah. So I think, look, the co-commentator described Niall Daly as he was coming on as a side-or. And I think that's what Roscommon needed. They were 20 minutes in and they were being beaten all ends up. It was 7-2, and then they got a real good burst on and they managed to pull the game back to 7-6, and they played with really good spirit. Classic Roscommon, flying into every tackle. But then the second half started, and the first 10 or 15 minutes, no, just not too dissimilar to Monaghan, actually. They just wilted, and, you know, Mayo did what Mayo did a really professional job in the end,
yeah,
and just put them away. And there is a gap, I think, between the two teams. I think in many ways it was kind of, it had a feel of what Mayo would have probably done to Roscommon in the championship last year.
I'd be careful, Roy. I would be really, really careful.
In what sense?
Well, we all things go to plan. We have Roscommon in a semi-final.
In a semi.
So yeah. My point is, we've been in this position before over the number of years, and I remember 19, and you look at last year, yeah, mm-hmm. I think it'd be very, very a bad move to put Roscommon, you know, in that position. Because they come into that Mayo game, and I'm not joking. It's like when they play a Mayo or Galway in County Championship, their levels of intensity just rise to the roof. So I would be very cautious about saying Roscommon in a really bad position. They are in terms of league, but the championship, and my point is they backed up by beating Galway and Roscommon regularly over the last few years. So yeah, championship.
And look, their main man, Enda Smith, didn't probably have his greatest game. You know, his form will obviously return. There's no, like, it was a tough night now, in fairness. It was proper winter football. No, I don't think Roscommon will have anything to be unduly worried come championship. They are obviously a Sam Maguire team, but they're going to find it hard to maintain their Division 1 status now, given their last two games.
Yeah. Let's finish off on Division 2 then, because I think this maybe looks a little bit more straightforward now. Donegal and Armagh winning at the weekend probably separates them from the pack in a way. That draw between Cavan and Meath might have some implications as well, though. Huge win for the Cork footballers as well, and Kildare definitely on the brink. I think taking the Donegal picture out of it, you know, the 5-point win against Louth, not a whole lot to talk about. I did think what was most interesting that came out of it, Lee, was Jim McGuinness's post-match comments when he starts talking about tactical fouling and how it's ruining the game. And I was thinking, anytime you see a manager coming out and trying to set an agenda like this, it's definitely for further down the field, not for the right now, you know.
Jim has mind games. He's always thinking ahead. I thought it was interesting. Okay, like, I wouldn't mind Donegal as good as anyone, I'd say.
I was thinking.
But I think that's Jim's level of authority around thinking, right, where can I get that edge? And not for league in that first challenge game. Where can I get those little nuggets of edges on any team? So I think Jim's so smart around how
he's... Well, they're going to be a counter-attacking team, aren't they?
Yes, Yeah, they are. Do you know what? I thought Clyde would give me enough for this game. I didn't think they'd roll over. Just Donegal always had that bit of class about them. Paddy McGrady looked really good. Paddy McGrady looks brilliant this year.
Yeah.
He looks happy. He looks sharp. And again, it's a sign of Jim's approach to the philosophy he wants to play with. So I think Donegal just did what that's do. So, but Donegal are thinking down the line, and Jim makes no bones about that. They're looking at the first round of the championship. Like, they've done all they need to do in Division 2 up to now. I expect them to play Armagh a couple of weeks in that league decider, and I think that'll be an interesting game going to plan, obviously, but I think that'll be interesting if Donegal go full court that game in preparation for that Ulster Championship game. So I've been impressed with Donegal. I have been up to now. I think the scores they've been putting up, maybe outside the Armagh game before, have been just huge, and that's not something I would associate with Donegal. Particularly last year, they were so poor in offense. So Jamie has done great work there so far, but there's still a good bit of work to do. I think they probably are still limited in terms of their game plan, because you're on a bit counter-attacking. Can they evolve that a bit more? Because I think the likes of a Derry would be too smart for that, and they'll have their pick if they don't adapt a bit more to what they have.
Yeah.
Jackie, one thing though, and it's a really interesting point you make in relation to Jim McGuinness's comments, because I see Colm Keyes has followed up with a piece in today's Irish Independent in and around how he feels it may be an easy win for this new football review committee to address that potential cynical play in Gaelic football by bringing in a really harsh penalty for somebody that does look to try and impede or pull down or drag or block a quick counter-attack by bringing in an AFL-style 50-metre penalty or potentially a penalty itself. Now, I think that is something that potentially could be looked at because the game has largely become a counter-attacking game. It is 15 against 15 one side, and this is even happening at club level. somebody gets a hand in, somebody gets a ball, then there's three or four runners looking to break really quickly, and then that's where you get caught, and that's when we end up having so many games that lob the keeper these days. So I think it's an interesting point that Jim makes. A good follow-up today. I thought Paul Flynn spoke really well on the subject on Sunday night's programme on Allianz League Sunday in relation to this review committee, because I suppose, look, everybody has ideas and everybody has suggestions around what should happen, etc. And that's all fine. That's a discussion for another day. A bugbear of mine is in the GAA, far too often, a rule comes in. That's grand now. That's grand now. The rule is in now and away we go. And there's no, right, let's see what, let's take stock after 12 months. Do we need to do a little tweak here? Do we need to do a little tweak there? Does the black card need to be improved? Do you need to add a definition? Do you need to take a word out? Do you know what I mean? It's
simplistic changes, I think you're...
Yeah, it's about sitting on this as opposed to, right, for instance, like sometimes decisions are made that are just utterly daft. The advanced mark has added nothing to the game whatsoever, in my view. Why wasn't that just dispensed with when everybody feels that it's a bit of a blight and it actually...
I'd say it won't be around for much longer.
Yeah, and hopefully that's the case. But I just find, look, what people's ideas, and there's brilliant people on this committee. I just hope that, to follow up on what Paul said, and I think it's a really good point, is that they actually remain in the job for a good few years and tweak as they go, because this won't be some sort of silver bullet, one size fits all, fix it.
Right. So if Donegal are going up then, Lee, can you see Cavan doing anything to stop Armagh? Because they obviously have that game in 2 weeks' time now at the Athletic Grounds, where given that Armagh had that draw last weekend, maybe there is still a window. The winner of that game is probably going up, you know, barring anything crazy happening the last day. Do you think Cavan have a chance?
Oh, absolutely, Jackie. I think they showed enough against Donegal earlier in the year that they should have got a result from that game, to be honest. I don't think people have talked about Cavan half enough and how impressive they have been this campaign now, to be honest. Like at the start of the year, probably people would have, the assumption was, you know, new management, what sort of bounce would they get? Well, I tell you, they've answered all those questions emphatically, to be honest. Mm. And I keep referencing, you know, their junior, Armagh and the junior, and I think that's just, they're riding on the crest of a wave at the moment. I think they're doing so much good stuff at the moment. And they have a forward that can score well. Paddy Lynch for me has just been brilliant. He got 6 points the weekend again, and a guy that's just playing with real confidence. So Ray McGallaghan has done a brilliant job. So I think they'll go into the Armagh game, Jackie, with full of confidence and expect them to win that game. That's going to be a tough test for Armagh. Make no bones about that. And I think Cavan will give them a right game. I still think Armagh are just a little bit further in the track, considering what they've played and what they've come through the last couple of years. And I keep looking at Armagh and some of the players they have, and it's the excitement, I think, with Armagh sometimes that we probably get lost with some of the results they have and some of the games they played last year. I think they're such exciting players to just adapt with and play with. And Kieran McGainey looks a bit more happier this year than he has in other years, which has been refreshing, to be honest. So yeah, Cavan made great strides, but I still think they're just below the Donegals and their Armagh of this world. But for me, a serious progression in Division 2 this year, just probably maybe just lacking what Armagh have in terms of that squad depth, that quality, and that Division 1 kind of ethos that Armagh have had for the last few years.
Makes an interesting Paddy's weekend, Jackie.
Yeah.
You've got kind of a mini Ulster League going on, yeah, where you have two Ulster teams competing to stay in Division 1 and two Ulster teams competing to get up there into Division 1. Tyrone Monaghan, losers, probably relegated. And Armagh Cavan, the winner, potentially promoted. So I think it'll be a fascinating day, 5 o'clock and a half, 7 throw-in for the two of those. I presume there'll certainly be at least one of them on TV. So
not bad for Bank Holiday.
Yeah, great. So, yeah.
But actually, one thing is interesting, we're on a cabin actually, but like Meade as well have been brilliant. Like, you know,
brilliant.
Like the start of their campaign, you're thinking, oh, this is just going to be absolute.
Did you hear Kevin saying that? Like, Cullum after the game, they were going for beers on the way.
and rightly deserved, because the turnaround they've had, it's funny that loud result has just plumbed them into a brilliant position. Confidence is brilliant, They're playing well. They've got results. They're safe in Division Two. You know, so
and they're playing another team now. 2 weeks' time, brimful of confidence as well.
Exactly. So fair play to Colm. Like whatever the beer talker is saying, but it's working a treat. So like that's some turnaround from their first two games, guys. You know, that's brilliant for Colm working on this squad there. So.
Yeah, you're right. And look, given the Talisman Cup win last year as well, they just have the safety net of everything safe in Division 2, flying for championship. Speaking of then, Rory, let's talk about the Cork footballers. Big boost for them. You know, Lee's laughing, but this is the one that's going to save their season.
Yeah. It was a mad game, a 5-goal thriller. Oh, listen, it was an odd game. Like it was kind of played at a blistering pace to start, and you could feel the level of urgency in both teams' play, considering I think both teams knew the significance of the game. I felt for the cameraman, by the way, because the way the sun was shining on one half of the field, you couldn't actually see anything on the near side. Great goal for Kildare early on, really settled them down. Cork were a bit more ponderous in their attacks. That's not exactly a new tune. Feely with an incredible score in the 15th minute, and straight away then Cork were facing an uphill task, and they were ripped to shreds at the back twice for both goals. Daniel Flynn was buzzing. Possession wise it was close, but every time Kildare went into the Cork full forward line you were thinking trouble. Now the Cork scored a goal just before half time, which kind of settled them down, and then they came out in the second half, and for the first 10 or 15 minutes they really went to town and played some great football. To be fair, Conor Corbett certainly showed glimpses of what people would expect from him. They have a couple of really good... I'll tell you what Cork have, Jackie. Cork have some of the components of a really top team, but just not all of the pieces of the pie. They've got blistering. They've got pace in the likes of the Matty Taylors and Luke Fahies. And, you know, they've got players that can, with searing pace, they have a bit of athleticism. They have one or two dainty forwards, but just not enough pieces in the overall jigsaw to really compete to win championships. And will still need a point minimum from their remaining two games away to Meath, the home to Armagh, to stay in this league. I think
I don't think they're showing enough quality either in Division Two, Rory. And that's that they're lacking a little bit, is that bit of quality. And the one thing I would probably give Cork a bit of kudos on is they have been competitive and they just didn't get results. Where I have to say the aspect of there is their lack of effort in some of the games where Cork have been competing well, just lacking that quality. And you're probably right, they're just probably missing a couple of key links to the whole plan. But what about that catch from Callum?
Superman
stuff to Corbett, like that's the kind of stuff that you love to see. Like, you know, it's few far between, but from their point of view, like, it was great to see Danny Flynn early on. I thought this is just going to be, he's going to run riot. And you know, like, we want to see him do well. I really want to see Danny Flynn catch that flame again, because what he can do is just such, it's just brilliant to watch. And then all of a sudden Clare race away, and then they just start giving turnover after turnover after turnover, and they just got punished. And when Cork push up with their kick out, particularly in the second half, it was curtains, and Clare could never get back into the game as a result. Yeah, they were plucky, they stuck at it, but I just felt Cork always, once they pulled away with the 4-point cushion, they were never going to give it away again. So Clare in a whole world of pain, I'm afraid.
Absolutely one of Cork or Kildare is being relegated, but possibly both still, because you have to bear in mind Louth play for Manor next, who sit on three and two. So one of them is going to end up on 5 points, potentially four, and they both have Cork on the head to head. So it may turn out to be the classic case of two bald men fighting over a comb in Páirc Uí Chaoimh last Sunday. We'll see, I suppose, over the next couple of weeks. Yeah, no, both teams still with a no.
Question for you, Rory. I have a question for you. Was there a need to play that game in super value at the weekend? Just looking at the attendance, I just thought it looked shocking from an ops perspective. You know, you're looking in, you know, like...
It's a very good point. It in real terms, no. And what you would actually... There's a couple of things, right? Ultimately, you would prefer, like what a lot of other counties do, is take your key games way down into the heartland. Like if you had a ground that could host maybe 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 people down in West Cork, that's exactly where you want to be taking, particularly Ulster teams, because they'll get a real flavour of what Cork football is like when they go down to those necks of the woods. The issue is you've your premiums. You've your premium tickets sold for people that, you know, have a contract in place, and they will have a certain amount of games on that. And you, I suppose you have no choice but to stage your inter-county fixtures in Páirc Uíomh as a result. I think that I would assume that's the case.
Yeah, it doesn't look great. Like, even the whole optics of it, like,
yeah,
it looks,
like, I mean, Christy Ring Park, you have Christy Ring Park there as well. Now, if you throw the 3,000 or 4,000 that were there into Christy Ring Park, it's a brilliant atmosphere because it's a nice, cozy, tight ground. It's actually where most of the Cork footballers would play all their club football, isn't that right, Jackie?
Yeah.
So it's a different kettle of fish, and it's a, like, I know it's a place that I know opposition teams hate because the dressing rooms are dang cold, wet, and miserable. But sure,
it's all right, come Casper.
Yeah, exactly. last word on them, Lee. Do you think they can survive Páirc?
I do think they can. Yeah, I do. I really do. Like they've two results now back to back, so they're in a bit of form. Same with Meath, they've turned things around, and
flying off to Portugal today.
Okay, nice. It's a good result, but we'll see how that turns out. But definitely they can. They have a great opportunity, but it's going to be such an interesting couple of rounds there for the bottom half of Division 2. I think you're seeing the spread of quality in Division 2 in terms of the top end and what we're going to get. I think that's nearly settled to some degree. Yeah, the Cavanagh game would be really interesting, but the bottom half is just where it's all at. It's just pandemonium down there at the moment. I feel Kildare are definitely doomed, irrespective of potentially this or that. I just think, look them at as an overall, I just think there's just no way you can see them getting out of this. But Cork have a great opportunity, and they put themselves in a good position to do it. Can they back it up now in Saturday or Sunday week with that performance against Kildare? I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
None of us do.
Yeah.
No,
that's the magic.
The two teams are such enigmas. You don't know what they could do. Yeah. Like, they're just like, if you told me Kildare would have raced into 1-7 or 1-5, whatever, in the Cork game, I said, will you stop? Even getting a goal for Kildare was a bonus, you know? So you just don't know what the particular two teams, they just could do anything.
Yeah. Bear two, Division 2, just a bear pit as usual. Lads, we'll have to leave it there, but thoroughly enjoyed the chats. Thanks a million for being with us, Lee, and we will chat to you later in the week, everyone.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point, and there's the whistle. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it, it's over the bar.